Revelation chapter 8. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. This is the word of the Lord, and he will most certainly add his abundant, gracious, and magnified blessing to the reading of this is holy truth. Let's pray. Most blessed and gracious Heavenly Father, as we look at just a portion of this portion tonight, we pray, Father, that you're glorified. We pray that our prayers may be ascending unto the altar, and then also as the incense goes before the throne, along with our prayers, may we, as your people, receive that which is cast down unto us with thunderings and lightnings and voices, the blessedness of thy word and the reality of the warfare that is waged in the heavenlies surrounding us. We pray, Lord God, that we may be a people of prayer. We pray, Lord God, that we may be a congregation of prayer, and that we may be Christians of prayer, and not just Christians who pray, or people that pray, or a congregation that prays, but a congregation of prayer. We pray that that may be so, Lord, as the reality of the truth of your word in us that reveals the Lamb slain before the foundation of the earth. In the Lamb's name, in Jesus Christ's name, and by all that he is and all his majesty, we do pray, Lord, and thank you for this word. Humble us, Lord, before this mighty revelation of thy word. And pray, Lord, that the corruptions of our flesh may be put down for this moment and for this season, that we may see the glories of Christ and exalt him with our very lives for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Just the portion that we will take out of these six verses for devotions, to devote ourselves unto Christ and meditate upon the blessedness that is Christ. Verses 2 through 4, I want to read again. And I saw seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. What a blessedness there is in this truth. That as we do see, and as a reminder, that in Revelation chapter 5 we see the worship of heaven, and as the sealed scroll is in the hand of the Lamb, and only he is worthy to open it. And as he opens the seals, the revelation of Jesus Christ is culminated with silence in verse 1 of chapter 8. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about the space of a half an hour. Just to, if you want to say, it's dramatic. Because when the fullness of Christ is revealed unto our souls, and not the fullness of everything that Christ is. He is infinite. He's infinite God. And his majesty goes forever and ever and ever eternally. And so we'll never come to the bottom of Christ, and we'll never ascend to the heights of his glory, and we'll never span the length of his majesty. And we'll never explore the depth and the breadth of his splendor. We can never come to the end of that. But when the truth of the Lamb slain is revealed unto us, certainly for us in this moment, there should be reverence, and there is. Because it prepares us for that which, as the angels in heaven, and this is a heavenly vision, prayer. In chapter 5, again, as the scroll is in the hand of the Lamb, immediately in verse 7 of chapter 5, there is prayer. The prayers of the saints are mentioned because it goes hand in hand with the Word. The Word without prayer is ineffectual. It has no power. And the prayer without the Word has no knowledge, has no interest in Christ, because it is the Word that reveals Him. So there are two things that continually, or we're reminded continually, that they go hand in hand. The business of the apostles in the first century church was that they would give themselves over to prayer and the Word, so that the ministry of the Word of and the ministry of prayer and the ministry of the church might go forth unto those that were selected as deacons. But they wouldn't be taken away from that most vital and important aspect of church life, which is the Word and prayer. And so as the trumpet sound, as we mentioned on Sunday night, we understand that from now with the Word revealed, we have the warfare of the church militant, and the trumpet sound an alarm, as it is in Numbers chapter 10 when the silver trumpets were made and instruction was given unto Aaron that these trumpets would sound an alarm for the children of the congregation of Israel to go forth. And so likewise with the congregation of Christ's church, we go forth in prayer as the trumpets sound. In chapter 8, in the first four trumpets, we see the curse, the result of sin. And we see the judgment upon that sin as it is rightly judged by God. And the trumpets alert us to that reality. And then the trumpets also in chapter 9 alert us to the reality of the warfare that we wage. Ephesians 6 verses 10 through 12 that we looked at Sunday night. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, it says in Ephesians 6. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places, and the rulers of darkness of this age. And so we put on the full armor of God, and as it says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, that we endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. This is the work of the church. As it says in verse 2, and I saw seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. We should be reminded that prayer is not preparation for the battle. Prayer is the battle. Prayer is the battle. When we come forth emerging from prayer in our prayer closet, we do things. But it's not those things that we do, the things that are in our hand of ministry, the things that we stand upon as far as standing upon doctrine and standing faithfully upon Christ. Those are the results and those are evidences of a prayer life. But it is that prayer life that's breaking up the things of the heavenlies, as we are reminded of Daniel chapter 10. That Daniel was not a man who prayed, but he was a man of prayer. And being a prophet of prayer, that as he went to prayer, immediately angels are dispatched from heaven. And it might take 21 days before the answer was given. And then in the revelation of what that messenger brings, remember that that angel that was dispatched fought with the prince of the power of Persia, a country that had not risen unto power, but in the eternal realm. That prince of the power of Persia was there, and he withstood that angel, so that that angel had to call out for Michael the archangel for help and overcome this principality that was over Persia. And when he came to Daniel 21 days later, he says, I was dispatched from the moment, man of God, that he went into prayer. And then he tells him that story. And so we know the heavenly reality, that which is beyond the veil. So it's an important thing. Prayer is the battle. And then we have the prayer of saints, and we see some things from this in verse 3. And another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. What a blessed insight is this in verse 3. That our salvation is all of grace, and that God has saved us through His precious Son Jesus Christ. But now, being saved, as prayer is a very real and very important aspect of our Christianity, because prayer is not merely communicating with God. It is communion with God. Hebrews chapter 4 tells us that through Jesus Christ we can come boldly, confidently to the throne of grace. Not in arrogance, but we come confidently because of that which Christ has done, the Lamb slain. And through that reality, now we have communion with God. We certainly do have communication with God, but we have communion with God. So prayer is the very lifeblood of the saint in Christ. To not pray is to not have the Word really moving through us. Now we have our times of private prayer, and it should be a time of devotional prayer to see Christ. But when we start maturing and we become effective in the kingdom in the sense that we are intercessors, there is an amazing thing. As I getting back now again to the salvation that I mentioned, as our salvation is all of grace and all of God, and in Christ Jesus by His blood shed and His sacrifice made, our prayers as those saved are now accompanying the work of the Spirit and accompanying the work of the Son, as the Son ever liveth to make intercession for them, to save them to the uttermost, for salvation unto those whom He is saving. We join in with Him in prayer, and this is what's reflected here. It says in the middle of the verse 3, and there was given unto Him much incense that He should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. The prayers of the saints come from the Word, the reality of this truth of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We rejoice in all that He is as the Word reveals it. And because of that, then we go to prayer. So from the Word, we have prayer. But we also have prayer with the Word, because the Word has things that give us insights into the eternal realm. Because the Word gives us insights into a practical Christianity, we also pray not only from the Word that prompts us in a prayer, but we pray with the Word so that we may pray according to the will of God. But take heart, saints, because you don't always know what it is that we should be praying for, because we don't see always with eternal eyes. We are in the temporal and behind the veil. And so we pray with submissive trust, because the living Word has all the Word. And though we don't always see what it is that we must pray for, don't always hear with the spiritual ears that we would like to have, go ahead and pray. I don't know if this is the will of God, but Lord, I'm not going to keep it in this temple. If it's not Your will, let me take it to the cross. Let me take it to the throne of grace and let me leave it there. And if I have to pray 100 times to take it up there until I have peace, let me be submissive in prayer to Your Word. Romans chapter 8 tells us that. See, we pray not what we know how to pray because of the infirmities of our flesh, the weaknesses that are in us, it says in Romans chapter 8. And so therefore we pray, but the Holy Spirit prays and intercedes on our behalf with groanings that cannot be uttered. We can't utter them, but the Holy Spirit groans and moves with His with everything that He is to bring about those things that are in us that are good and the will of God and the Word of God and the way of God, and those things that are not. And so I don't have to be bound up in knots. I don't have to sin and have anxiety and worry that I'm not praying right. I can pray freely. As somebody prayed tonight, I think that was Brother Gene was mentioning that, or actually after our prayer, this term, having freedom by God's grace. And so we can pray confidently that even though I might not be praying according to God's Word, I'm praying by God, and I'm praying by God's grace. Because that is what brings Him glory and honor, that He fixes it up. You know the old saying that kill them all, they had in the army, kill them all and let God sort them out. We're going in there, we're taking that battle. But in the spiritual realm, that's the reality. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. So in that warfare, we send them all out. Send out all those prayers and let God sort it out by His Holy Spirit. Likewise also Jesus Christ the Son and His intercessions. And we see this because, see, the incense comes up from the altar. It says that our prayers are also as incense, that we, as a people of God in Ephesians, are a sweet smelling savor unto the Lord. And much of that has to do that we are a praying people, because incense throughout the Bible, from the Old Testament, from days of old, accompanies that which is the reality of prayer. So in that sense, we have that incense. But here behind the veil, we see the reality, we see it for what it really is. We have prayers that rise up unto God, and then they are mixed together with the incense from the altar. And the altar purifies it. The altar that also that we should be reminded of the representation that we see all the way back to Isaiah in his day in Isaiah 6. That in the year that King Uzziah died, he saw the Lord also high and lifted up. And when the seraphim that were around crying out, "Holy, holy, holy," and that the threshold of the temple shook with the holiness of Jesus Christ. And he said, "Woe is me, I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips." And an angel came with a tong, and he took a living coal, a live coal, a burning coal. More literally translated from the Hebrew, a living coal, and touched it to his mouth. And then the voice from heaven, the voice from the altar, God said, "Whom shall we send?" And having had his lips touched, he said, "Here am I, send me." The coal cleansing. And so with the incense rising, our prayers come forth before God. And then he sends us forth, as in verse 5, it says that the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it under the earth, and there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. The result of our prayer brings forth that illumination to the Word and lightnings, an earthquake, because it shakes the world to its foundations, because Jesus Christ is Lord and He is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. The thunderings that come from the proclamation of the Word of God unto all peoples, and that it is voices, many voices, because the gospel is not given unto a singular family. It's given to all nations, kindreds, tongues, tribes, and peoples. And so when those prayers come forth and they're mixed together from the golden altar, which signifies a heavenly work done in taking your prayers, then it may be cast down. And here we are beyond the temporal veil, or beyond the eternal veil in the temporal. Within the eternal veil, in the temporal world, then the truth and the result of our prayers go forth, and the angels may sound. The incense of Christ and His intercessions, what a blessing it is to take part in that work. And Paul speaks of that foundation, no man can lay any other foundation, he says in 1 Corinthians 3, but that which is the Lord, Jesus Christ, and the man may build thereon, either wood, hay, and stubble, but in that day he will be, those things will be consumed, but in that day he will be saved. But blessed is the man whom on the foundation of Jesus Christ are built of gold and silver and precious gems, and those prayers that as God brings us first in our simplest of Christianity, in our basic salvation, devotion unto Him and asking Him to teach us, O Lord, Thy ways. Show us, O Lord, Thy Word. Bring us, O Lord, the Lamb. And as we are devoted unto Christ and grow in grace and are strengthened in faith with a prayer life that is rich in Christ, we begin having the mind of Christ. "And let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man, and humbled Himself as a servant, and was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross," as it says in Philippians chapter 2. And doing so, Doing so, seeing that prayer life in us privately and corporately arise, that we may be a people of prayer, that brings forth a blessing that brings unto us not only the mind of Christ, but the heart of the Father, and the activity and the execution of the Holy Spirit, that the triune God, working in us as individuals and in us as a church, is the evidence that we are a people of prayer rather than people that just pray. And let us pray. Most blessed and gracious Heavenly Father, may our prayers be as incense from the altar of heaven. May they be as golden as a gift from Almighty God. And may they pour forth upon the earth that we may see the blessed gospel of Jesus Christ go forth with lightnings and thunderings and voices and a great earthquake, that your gospel, as Christ was crucified and there was a great earthquake, may the gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified bring earth-shaking results, earth-shaking evidence that Thy saints are praying. We thank You, Lord, for this time in Your Word, and pray, Lord God, that You will be glorified and Christ will be exalted in all that we think, say, and do. In His name we pray. Amen.